Hello and welcome to the Unmissables podcast number 49. We're a week away from our 50th birthday, Kay.
It's Kay very Barrow, exciting.
Treasured colleague and co-Unmissables podcaster, and Steph Seelan, other co-podcaster.
Kay and I have decided that we would like to be called podcast operatives.
Okay.
Key.
You are
key podcast
highly
operatives.
Treasured podcast operatives.
Yeah.
It's our weekly trawl through the world of television. Sometimes we do films. Sometimes, once in a while, we might do a book or a play.
Or never a music.
Piece of music, but
we
rarely.
We never do music. We should just say that.
Very rarely. Very, very, very rarely. This week, we've got three. I'm not saying it's the best week ever of television.
Don't set out the clock like that.
Is that unfair?
Come on.
I mean, maybe, okay.
What's the point of listening to this?
This is a personal...
It's a backlash.
Backlash already.
It's an early backlash.
Yeah, very early
I think
backlash.
It's a little silly going into this saying it's a shit week of TV.
I didn't say shit.
I'm putting words into your mouth. It's always a good week on Netflix.
Well, none of these shows are on Netflix, but we've got The Return of the Durrells, the much-loved ITV family drama, is back next Sunday the 18th of March, 8 p.m, and we're reviewing it. Seal Team, nothing to do with the popular singer.
Or Sealan.
Or Sealan.
That's my nickname, Seal.
It's about those kind of Navy SEAL types. And this is a new, what can I describe as an action thriller drama with Dave Boreanaz. Is that how you pronounce it?
Oh,
Dave Boreanaz.
Angel from Buffy.
Dave Boreanaz. Anyway, whatever. Him of Angel fame. That's on Sky One from next Thursday at 9 o'clock. And finally, I think this is the first. We're reviewing a show on the Universal Channel. Yes, indeed. It's called Gone. Mm. And it stars Chris Noth.
Mr. Big.
From Sex and the City.
So we're saying Noth, are we?
Kay, you know very full well because I've told you the story.
I know, but we have to discuss this.
I would say Chris Noth.
Well, indeed.
That's what I've been saying, but we've been saying it wrong. Apparently, he doesn't subscribe to the moth or cloth. It's cloth or moth.
Oh, that's stupid.
Well... He is himself.
Did you tell him he's been saying it incorrectly?
No, he...
Did you say, oi, Noth? No.
I didn't tell the actor that he didn't know how to pronounce his own name.
When he introduced himself, what did he say? Hello, I'm
well,
Chris Noth.
If you really want to get this out of the way now...
I do.
I was going to save this for the early section, but...
No, I wasn't getting to it. We're in the early section.
I hosted not one, but two events this week for the show.
This is the earliest name drop
right.
We need to have a sound for that.
Yeah, I was trying to...
Work on that.
I've got a bong in the works.
Maybe that could be the name drop thing.
Go on.
I hosted two events this week in which Christopher Noth took part.
That should be two bombs.
And in the first one, I introduced him and the rest of the cast of the show on stage. And I said, please welcome Chris Noth, as you would. And he said quietly to me, Noth. And so, yeah.
Oh, you got a reprimand.
Well, just correcting me. Fair enough. He wants his name pronounced
I get
correctly.
Pretty aggro, actually, if someone says my name wrong. But still, that's so surprising that it's Noth.
But yours is so easy because it's Kay Robina.
Anyway,
that's a popular drink.
If we've learned one thing this week, it's how to pronounce Christopher Noth's name.
Okay, so it's Chris Noth rhymes with both.
Yes. So right, reviewing that anyway. Gone is an American drama series all about a gang of people trying to find missing people. Abductees who have literally gone.
Like scone.
Gone. So we're reviewing that. But before all of that, in traditional Unmissables style, after 49 weeks, we're still sticking to the format. What else have we been watching, enjoying, listening to, loving? Steph.
Well, on live TV, I'm sure you're all aware, this is the best week of my life. Not a bad week in TV, because what's on? Crufts. Crufts. The greatest show in the history of the world. Claire Balding, who...
I deeply adore and love,
she's hot-footed it from Pyeongchang doing the old Olympics, and now she's doing Crufts, which she always does absolutely brilliantly.
She loves a dog.
She'll be doing a full weekend of Crufts. So by the time, now Crufts is over, okay? But I'm going into a good weekend, big weekend of Crufts.
And could you get it on catch-up?
Oh my
Cruft
God.
Up.
You can watch so much Crufts. So obviously, I'm sure you all know. So every day has kind of a best in show. They do best in show at the end. But every day is there's like different groups. So the best of breed from all the different groups. You're looking at me like you don't want to know this.
No,
but I know
I mean,
you
all
do.
You need to say is there's dogs on every day. Dogs at crafts every day. Is that
and
right?
There's also lots of good stories about, you know, dogs that help people with PTSD and, you know.
This really feels like 100 greatest dogs all over again, doesn't it?
No, no, no. Steady. Sorry. Got really cross there.
Dogs that suffer from PTSD.
No, dogs that help people who've got PTSD. Okay. And it's just wonderful. Everything about it is wonderful. And obviously the super vet is going to be there as well.
Do you fancy him? You got a bit of a twinkle in your eye.
Well, as you'll know, Kay, the super vet came back for its new series last week. So Noel's back, Noel Fitzpatrick.
Doesn't answer the question, do you fancy him?
I do love him. So
I thought so. He's not got a bit
misty-eyed. The super vet, not to be confused with a vet on a hill. Who's also on, he's on More 4, isn't he, the Vet on the Hill? Do you know him?
The Vet on the Hill is not called the Super Vet. The Super Vet is Noel Fitzpatrick.
But Channel 4 / More 4 has two vet shows.
Yeah, but the Super Vet's...
No, he was saying not to be confused.
Not
no,
to be
don't
confused
confuse
with.
It.
Yeah. No,
please don't confuse it. Did you know that the Super Vet is also an actor?
No, but it doesn't surprise me.
Why doesn't it surprise you?
Because he's a jack of all trades.
He's a very TV-friendly kind of guy, isn't he? So, yeah, I mean...
Do you know that he has, he's done 30 world first surgeries in animals.
I didn't know that.
That is incredible.
He is incredible.
Amazing. I can't believe
we salute you.
He's amazing.
So he's there at Crufts. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Isn't Crufts semi-controversial?
Right. Okay, no, listen. Right, I know what you're going to say. You're going to talk about last year's Alsatian, okay?
No, I wasn't at all.
Oh, okay.
I don't know anything about
What happened to last year's Alsatian? Okay, last year an Alsatian won Best in Breed and its back legs and everyone... Take this seriously. This is serious. It's big business.
Steady.
Right. So its back legs looks slightly damaged and everyone was saying, what's happening?
I'm not laughing.
Now, Claire Balding dealt with it very, very well. And so there was a lot of controversy about inbreeding.
Right.
And
there's controversy about that. Yeah.
And sometimes
there's a whole controversy, as far as I'm aware, in the dog community.
Please don't
in the
ruin
animal,
for me,
I'm
boy,
not going to ruin
please.
It for you. In the animal welfare community, a lot of activists are anti-cross because it's a celebration of...
Pedigrees
I'm no expert, but all I know is that certain breeds, particularly if you keep breeding them,
the purer the breed,
I believe.
Yeah.
In certain many cases, the less healthy it is for the individual dogs, and obviously Crufts is a celebration of that. Now, I've seen Claire Balding herself asked about it. It's really interesting. She deals with it very intelligently. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I love her as well, but it's fair to say that Crufts itself, as a thing, is controversial.
It is. And what I would say is my own personal feelings about buying dogs is that you should always adopt dogs and you should get them from a shelter. And also, mixed breeds do live longer and they do have less problems.
Yep.
I have dogs and they are mixed breeds.
Well, good.
Apart from that Dalmatian I got. But the only reason we got her is she was on the shonk. So she's got something wrong with her. And they were like, oh, we can't sell her. Her granddad once won Best of Breeds.
Have you still got a Dalmatian as well as the other two?
Yeah.
Clementine.
You've got three dogs.
Clementine,
wow.
Nessie, and Mo.
Clementine's technically a mum's dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the cat, Maggie Princess.
How could you forget this, boys?
Jean-Jay, the French cat, died. You know this.
I feel like apologising a little bit to the listener in case they don't want to know the full details of your pet.
I think a lot of pogs out there want to know this stuff.
Okay, so Crufts.
Right, so Crufts. Okay, so that's amazing. Oh, right.
Let's move on.
Okay, there's a bit of a theme. So... I watched my next guest needs no introduction. The next one, which is the George Clooney one.
Is it good?
Right. I'm going to tell you a little story now. So he goes, this is the best bit about it. It is good. So
Don't ruin it, Steph. Don't tell us the best bit if it's going to...
Oh, no, it's just the best bit for me. You won't care about this bit. Okay.
Does it involve a dog?
Yeah.
Oh, I was joking.
No, it does. Okay, so George Clooney, he goes into detail about how he won over Amal Clooney, his human rights lawyer wife, mother of his twins. So basically, he's got this amazing dog called Einstein. And so she came to his place in Lake Como for the evening with a mutual friend. And when they talked all night, you know, it's a lovely story, talked all night, became very good friends. And then when she left, in the subsequent weeks, he began, because she's a human rights lawyer, he began sending her letters from Einstein, the dog, saying, I have been held captive by George Clooney. You're a human rights lawyer. Is there anything you can do to free me? And that is how they
fell in
love.
First mistake. It would be a dog's right lawyer, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be like human. He got that wrong.
Why are you reading this story?
Okay, fine.
That's I like that. That's good.
Okay, well, so that's definitely worth a listen. And you get to meet all George Clooney's family. It's really, really good episode.
I think I'm right in saying that the third entry in the series, Malala, is available as well now, featuring Kay lookalike Malala.
Kay lookalike Malala. Yeah.
I'm excited about
Kalala.
That.
No, I thought the next one was
Oh, no. Was
no,
that Malala?
Wrong. It's Malala.
Oh, you didn't hear what I had to say.
Well, because I know it is Malala. I'm just, you know.
Okay,
I
mean, is the third one Malala?
Yes, the third one is effing Malala. Sorry, she's available. Malala. It is available right now.
Okay, right. Now, this doesn't have a dog in it, okay? So it's obviously lesser than the other two things I've mentioned. However, I
some
have started watching.
Some ears are going to be pricked up.
I have started watching 7 Seconds on Netflix. Have you heard about this?
Of course. As previewed in Heat Magazine.
Okay. As I've told you before, I do not read anything you write. I mean, okay. I don't know how many times I have to go through this.
It's a given.
Right. So Regina King stars, 10 episodes, based in Jersey, a white cop, first scene, not a spoiler, driving along in his car, trying to get somewhere quickly in the snow, knocks down an African American teenager. It's not good. Some other of his cop friends come along and say, the kid's dead, don't worry about it. But is the kid
dead? Don't worry about it.
That's what they say to him. They say, don't worry about it. Anyway, it's very good. I just, on the first episode,
is
I really
it
like it. I like Regina King.
I think they should be worrying about it.
Is it based on a true story?
That is asking a lot of
people.
Oh,
sorry.
I'm
currently asking that. I think it might be, but it's certainly all about the current Black
it's
Lives
all
Matter
controversy.
Yeah,
it brings in a lot of things that have happened, but. Right. Okay.
No, I really want to see it. You're saying it's
the first episode is okay, the first good. Episode is very compelling. It's very
excellent.
Good. But as I said, there are no dogs in that episode. Okay.
How many things are on your list?
Just last one. This is last one.
Checking.
I know I'm holding my pad like
you are.
We're going to be here for some time.
We're 15 minutes in.
Well, if you all stop talking about how far we're in, then I can finish my list, right? Homeland. Homeland's back. Am I the only person still watching Homeland?
Yep.
Why? It's so
good.
No,
I watched episode one of the series. Go on.
Yeah, what did you think?
I thought it was interesting, yeah.
Okay, so Carrie's back. She's off her meds. She's living with her sister. She's gone now. She's off her meds. Let's just say she's off her meds, okay?
She's back to classic Carrie.
Yeah, but she... So at the end of last season, Saul was locked up. So they locked up all of the people in the bureau.
Yeah.
So he is now... The president's had to do a, 180, and she's now got Saul as the head of security. Anyway, it's very good. It's like Claire Danes... crying a lot. It's just as good as it had always been. I really like Homeland.
Yeah, when Homeland started, it was all about Claire Danes being having issues and crying half the time, and then
she's continued that.
And it is she's a great crier.
She's still crying.
Has she won any awards for her crying?
I think she has.
She might have done. Yeah, early on. Yeah, it's incredible that the show's still going.
It's brilliant.
Because I thought when Thingy died, he was the big character, wasn't he? Ginger.
Damien Lewis.
Yeah, Ginger Prince.
Damien
Lewis.
Billions now, isn't he?
Yeah, but when he was like huge. The whole thing was all about him being co-opted by the Islamist extremists.
Yeah.
And that was fascinating. And then he died at the end of, what was it, four? So it was four? Thrown out there.
He got
I should probably check.
It was pretty bad.
And everyone thought, well, that's it, it's over for the show. But
I
then it's carried on.
I'm loyal.
You are.
I knew. I love Claire Danes.
No,
so
I'm with you. Thank you very much. A lot of that was on live TV, because that's on live TV.
That is. Can I just say one last thing? My one last thing
is it your last thing, Steph?
It really is.
We're on the verge of calling this a Steph special.
Okay. The one last thing is my one last thing is How to Get Away with Murder. I thought they were going to do a mid-season break because Laurel had her baby in the elevator. Okay, the baby
and everyone
West
knows after that you
died
need a break.
At the end of last season, right? Okay, and then oh my god! So I thought it was the end, but actually there was an episode last night.
A bonus.
Well, I think Sky have cunningly waited quite a long time before they start showing it. So they've had their mid-season break in America, but it means that Sky doesn't have to have such a mid-season break because they waited a long time before they're showing. That's what they do.
Viola Davis, another excellent crier.
Legend, yeah.
That really.
Well, Steph has watched everything. Okay, is there anything left for you?
No, I didn't watch anything.
Because you're quite keen on moving us on always. Are you just going to literally say you weren't watching anything just for the sheer hell of it?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Come on.
Watching.
Well, I did a little bit of a catch-up. So I was catching up with some bits that I had wanted to watch and didn't have time. So I went to the cinema and I watched The Darkest Hour, which I loved. I absolutely loved. Thought it was fantastic. We discussed this a bit, Boyd, didn't we?
Of course. Oscar winner Gary Oldman.
And I absolutely agree with that. So I won't be asking for a recount. He deserved that award. Didn't know it had my favourite, our favourite, Stephen Delaney.
I know. Stephen Delaney from The Tunnel.
Yes. You didn't tell me that.
Oh, I wanted it to be a surprise.
Yeah, I was very excited to see him on screen, and I thought it was brilliant. Then I also, as you know, Pogs, I stuck to my word and I did sign up to Netflix.
$5.99 or $7.99? You multi-screen?
I went multi, yeah.
So you can watch it on your phone.
Yeah, I'm watching all over the joint. But now it means I'm catching up, so I'm not going to go in depth on the stuff I've watched because it'll be stuff that you've talked about 8 months ago. but I have been gobbling up The Sinner, and I love it.
Didn't we all review The Sinner on here?
No, we didn't.
No.
You know, Kay started this new thing where she doesn't watch stuff all the way through. We might have done it. Yeah, and she maybe
no, we didn't.
The first
John, Dad, did we do it? No, he's shaking his head. We didn't do it. But it's great with the Pear Peeler. Jessica Biel murders someone on the beach.
Golden Globe winner. Jessica Biel.
With Bill Pullman as the detective, and I like him too.
What episode are you on?
Six out of eight.
Three more including.
That's going to get a finish this weekend.
And finally, I'm watching live TV, as Steph would call it, Gogglebox. So Fridays, Channel 4, 9 o'clock.
Is it on now?
It's always on, isn't it?
Oh, right.
It's fantastic. Why are you putting it on?
I was questioning whether it was still on.
I mean, it's
on
about 40 weeks a year. So, yeah.
And no one's complaining about that because it's great.
No, it is good.
Featuring, obviously, my favourites, the Siddiquis. Leon and June, not on there. Leon sadly passed away and June's no longer going to be on it. But they've got a new little group, Kathy, Scylla and Evie. They're three ladies, older ladies. They're very funny, talking about kissy time, having a debate about that. And also, Steph, you'll be interested in this.
The Siddiquis are talking about their dreams?
Piss off.
What?
Look, I didn't represent Sid's dream that well. I mean, I made it very boring. It was fun in person. It was very funny.
If you didn't catch it in a previous episode, Kay went into a 7-minute monologue about one of the Siddiqui's dreams. Okay?
Sid.
I wish I had to hand that episode.
Do you want me to retell it? Would it help?
No.
And I controversially pointed out that people recounting their dreams is not interesting.
Do you know what's worse? People recounting
God,
their dreams.
Exactly.
Okay, this is worse. All I would say is I sat through your dog chat. Yeah, anyway, let's move on.
Ooh.
Your 15-minute dog monologue. Anyway.
Dog-a-log.
But you'll like this because on the first episode of Gogglebox, they actually played the clip of 24 Hours in Police Custody that you were talking about. Now, Pogs, a couple of episodes ago, Steph waxed eloquent about this episode where police corruption was revealed.
It's going to win awards, that
It sounded episode. Amazing from Steph's description, but then I watched the clip and it is brilliant. I checked it out and it's the first episode. It's called Sex Corruption and it's on 4OD. You've got a week left to watch it. So
I honestly think that episode is going to win. I mean, it may even win an Unmissable Award for Best TV Moment.
Or a BAFTA, because anyone can get a BAFTA.
Boyd, all we ask is that you listen to us and pay attention to everything we say.
Sorry, I was looking something up.
He's going through Facebook.
We're talking about that episode of 24 Hours in Police Custody.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
Of course I'm
completely.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Anything else, Rib?
No, I think I'm done. Thanks. Thanks for asking.
Hey, boys.
Yes.
What particular name drops would you like?
No. I've done the name drops. I've talked about. I mean, I'll talk a little bit more when we review Gone.
Okay.
About my experience of two actual events that I hosted. In fact, three if you can include Facebook Live.
Okay.
Let's just say this.
Okay.
By now, Chris Noth.
Yeah,
will be heartily sick of me. Heartily sick of the sight of me. Asking the same effing questions three times.
Was he very handsome in real life?
He's handsome. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know,
I've gone off him a little bit with his whole name thing.
He's fairly tall. Yeah, tall enough. Yeah, taller than me. I mean, which everyone
picky.
Is.
He seems picky.
Yeah, he was a little bit more handsome when he was not.
Yeah,
nice. No,
that's
so
like
sure.
When people call me Stephanie Stiff Fanny Seaman. I don't go. Oh, that's not my name. I just go. Oh, you've got that a little bit wrong.
I think it's people are wrong.
It's Seelan, not Seaman.
No one wants to be called Seaman unless you're David Seaman.
Yeah,
Arsenal goalkeeper.
Sometimes people call me Seelan as my first name, but do you know anyone whose surname's Stephanie?
Funny enough,
Seelan Stephanie.
This is not important, but someone emailed me only this afternoon from a TV publicist calling me Boyd Hamilton.
Boyd Hamilton. Yeah, it's like your alter ego.
They did a double email to me and a colleague, and they said, "Oh yeah, you're working on this thing with Boyd Hamilton." And I was like, well,
"Listen, you know the multiple mispronunciations of my name.
I've had her executed.
You've had her quite
anyway,
right too.
On we
your
go.
Your name." Robina.
No. Ryben, I've heard. Pibero. My favourite was Ribeiro Aero.
Ribeiro Aero.
From the Dutch
really
Flower
good.
Council.
John is going to edit all this out. Anyway.
Why?
I'm joking. Yeah. Anyway, you asked why I've been listening. Do you know what I've been listening to this week?
What have you been... Hey, Boyd, what have you been listening to this week?
I wanted to go back and listen to...
Us.
Yeah. Old podcasts. Adam Buxton's podcast, which we've mentioned on here before.
Hmm.
John Dan, our guru, has mentioned it before. In fact, he may even have mentioned this specific episode. So I'm about to say, and he can confirm
or deny.
Because
that would mean that you weren't listening to him before.
Well, I just know, because we cover loads of things. People say loads of things. But anyway.
That's his excuse.
One of Adam Buxton's best friends is Louis Theroux in real life. And Louis does his podcast regularly. And I love Louis as well. Louis is a legend. We've reviewed
Who doesn't love
Louis?
I've reviewed that on here.
Yeah. Mm. So I was thinking, oh, I'm going to go back and listen to the most recent one. So they did one last year. Did you mention this, John? I don't, I can't remember.
Okay,
I think
she did just
done.
Say it. Kay, oh,
I spoke about it.
Oh, sorry.
No, but that's
I didn't hear you say
that. No, absolutely. Any point you want to zone in, that's great.
So you mentioned it.
Yeah.
Because in what context?
In the context of something she listened to that she
and what
thought
did
people
you,
would want to know
did
about.
You particularly talk about their discussion of Serial and all those American...
Yes, and the voices they
and
use.
And the voices they use. Yeah,
I did talk to at length. But, you know, listen...
In that
they're
case,
all in the back
refresh.
Catalogue.
It's a refresh.
It's a refresh. It's a
say
refresh.
It in a different way, Boyd.
No, no, no.
No, you just use different
way.
Words.
No, no.
By all means.
What episode is it and where can you get it, Boyd? Kay, what's it about?
It's all about Vocal Fry, is what it's about. Yeah. Kay mentioned the whole thing.
No,
Kay's
do you
done
know
it.
What? I did talk about it, but I didn't go in depth as you may. So just give a little overview for the pogs who might not have listened to episode 13.
Let's
us.
Just say they discussed the phenomenon of Vocal Fry and.
What
I'm now
fry?
Obsessed with Vocal Fry.
What is Vocal Fry?
So Vocal Fry is the phenomenon, wherein, which people who narrate, so it's not specifically about them, but they're very good examples of it. People who narrate Serial and the guy who narrates Dirty John, all of our favourite podcasts.
Yeah.
And of course, the spoof one as well does it a bit because he has to in the spoof one. It's all about where you're using a voice at a certain register that ends up being slightly crackly and kind of unemotional. And there's a long explanation for it on Wikipedia, which is very funny in itself. But just Google it.
It's worth a listen.
Vocal Fry. And
Google
then re-listen.
It, listen to the last episode 13 when I mentioned it, or listen to this
again. Yeah, listen to the episode where Kay mentioned it, and it'll be fine, yeah.
Do you know what I thought you were going to mention? Isn't Ricky Gervais's thing on Netflix now?
It is on Netflix, I believe, today, yes. But I haven't had time to watch it yet. But yeah, it's a good point. It is on today, his Humanity
That's, and if you've
show.
Got a tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it the same stuff that's in that thing you had to pay for, the podcast you had to pay for?
No, 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 it's going to be different. Although the new tranche of Ricky Gervais's audiobook version of his American radio show is available now as well. The third
How
volume.
How long have you been doing PR for
Ricky Gervais? For a small amount of money.
It's not a small amount of money. It's the name. It's the amount of money of a multi-platform Netflix month.
That I've signed up to.
It's an absolute bargain. You get 7.5 hours of utter gold.
Okay, it's an arm punch.
What I would say is we are free. Yeah.
Of course we're free. The only thing, other thing I was going to mention is the Curb Your Enthusiasm Season 9 DVD is out, right?
Right.
And of course we've discussed Curb Your Enthusiasm Season 9.
Everyone loves Curb Your
Everyone
Enthusiasm.
Everyone loves Curb. The interesting thing about the Curb Your Enthusiasm Season 9 DVD is on the cover, it says there's two extras on it. One is people choosing their favourite scenes, which is on it.
And the other is the cast.
Yeah. So the cast pick their favourite moments relating to each character, and that is great. Mm. It also says there's deleted scenes. Now, if anyone can find these deleted scenes, they're a better person than I, because I can't bloody well find
and
them.
I can't imagine anyone would look harder than you.
Exactly.
I was going to say, actually, I sometimes fall into a bit of a Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon YouTube hole.
Just
and the other
Jimmy's.
Day, Jimmy's, exclusively Jimmy's on the YouTube.
Yeah.
And the other day, I saw the Larry David, you know they do mean tweets?
Yeah.
And they did a load for Jimmy Kimmel's birthday, his 50th birthday.
Yeah.
And Larry David loved the concept so much, but he couldn't stop laughing reading out these. Have you seen it?
Yes.
It is hilarious.
It is brilliant, yeah.
So there's a whole special segment just on Larry David trying to read out these mean tweets. It's definitely worth a YouTube Google.
Yeah, and what Larry David, when he loses it laughing, is
oh, it's infectious.
Such a joy. Yeah.
It's really, it is a joy.
Yeah, it's a total joy. And I'm going to leave it there because, you know, one of my things Kate already discussed in detail before. Yeah. The other one is just the fact there aren't the extras on the Curb
DVD.
It's
been a bit of a bust for you,
it's just
it,
like
this
bust.
Section.
But at least I am now best friends with Chris Noth.
Chris Noth.
As we're going
to both.
Oh, yeah.
Noth.
Let's get on to
Whoa.
The big...
Hold on a minute.
What?
Hold on.
Oh,
it's time
sorry.
For Reviews News. Reviews News.
Boyd, how can you forget that? We've been doing it for at least 3 weeks now.
Apologia.
Right, guys. We've had more reviews.
Oh my
it's
God.
What we've read ruddy bloody more reviews.
So, okay, it's next week we need to get 100 by.
No, the end of April.
Next week?
God, no. Is anyone listening to me?
No.
Okay,
no.
Right.
Pogs
not listening. People who are actually listening. At the end of April, we are hoping to get 100 reviews because it's our birthday. And what better way to celebrate than 100 reviews? Positive reviews, I emphasise. Anyway, she's actually written that down. Okay, so we've now got 73 reviews.
If my calculations are correct, that's two more than last week. No, I think so, one more than last week.
Well, the key number is 27 more. We need to get to 100.
Okay, that's the key number.
Yeah, right, it's not going to happen, is it? I mean,
Boyd,
why do you have to be such a pessimist?
Just because you were rubbish in the first bit of this and it was a bit of a bust. Now, don't be on a downer.
Realists,
okay?
I like
right.
to
say. Anyone out there
Boyd
who wants
Hamilton,
to...
you just quiet down.
Okay. Anyone who wants to prove Boyd wrong,
yeah,
get reviewing. Because now, anyone who's on side of me and Steph,
yeah,
this will be the true sign.
And it is... very definitely a side.
Yeah. Anyway, let me read some of these reviews. So C. Morris 2803. Oh my God, this one was...
Oh my God, you look choked up.
No, because this was really nice.
She's
okay,
clutching her chest.
She is clutching her pearls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pearls.
Diamonds, darling, diamonds.
Subject heading, gets me through college. 5 stars. And the person says, I'm 16. We have young listeners. I'm 16 and I'm struggling.
Oh my God.
No, don't worry.
Okay.
This podcast is fun and entertaining more than any other podcast like this, and it gets me through endless graphics A-level work.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I even wish, now, I mean, this is a big ask, and this makes me question them. I even wish there were more episodes which were longer. What?
Wow.
I think they're so hopped up on, like, revision. They've now lost their minds.
Is this lovely, like, is she studying weekly podcasts that deal mainly in TV? With hosted by three people.
Listen, Boyd, you'll like this bit. It ends with, thanks, Steph and Kay. Kiss, kiss.
Oh, no, the people have spoken.
Listen,
the people have
what is
spoken.
That noise? It's the noise of the worm turning.
Ooh.
Yes.
GFY.
Good for you.
Yeah.
It is good for us, Boyd.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so
I'm
nice. So are we helping this person, do you think?
Yeah, they
is it a girl or a boy?
We don't know. Gender neutral, we don't know.
Well, I hope your graphics homework is going very well.
Yeah, and do you know what the best advice that I didn't take kindly to at the time, but people used to say to me is that you can't come out of the exam to say, oh, I should have or would have when your results come. So just, do you know what? Just knuckle down, do it. And then enjoy the summer of listening to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that we should do an extended version just for this lovely super pog?
We should do that. And also, if you get bored revising, how about just have some time out and design us something?
Yeah. Well, we'll give you a ring.
We'll give you a ring. You can design us something. Like for super pogs, you can make the emblem for that.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Right, so that was C. Morris
2803. Yeah, make the emblem for Superbooks and send it in.
Yeah,
well,
let's get
in.
These people to work.
It's actually a good idea, yeah.
It is a good
yeah.
idea.
Yeah.
Okay, if everyone doesn't want to sound so shocked, that'd be great. Right, and then the next review, subject heading, the best, exclamation mark, already loving this review. It's by Kizza, K-I-Z-Z-Z-A.
How many?
Oh,
right.
There's four, is it four? Three, four, yeah, four Z's and an A, 1001.
Or Z's, depending on where you are.
Let's always say Z, because
well,
we're in
you
England.
Don't say JZ.
Well, that's a great point. This is like Noth all over
I
again.
I know.
Right, most definitely my favourite podcast at the moment has been for the last 10 or so months.
What?
This is a super duper pog.
Long-standing sufferer.
Yeah, stalwart.
The Unmissables podcast. Wow.
I love the in-depth reviews, and Boyd, Kay and Steph make every single programme entertaining to listen to.
Sorry, did they say in-depth? I'm not sure this person's listening.
Well, maybe she's anticipating your crufts.
Hey, Boyd, do you know what? Be nice, yeah? Okay? Be nice.
Particularly this person likes listening to, her favourite part is the banter between the girls and Boyd, brackets, and John Dan.
Ooh!
John Dan got a little shout out. And makes me embarrassingly laugh out loud on my way to work. Oh, and it makes me sound like a TV expert to all my friends when I come out with various facts I learned on the pod. Brackets, they're not always true.
Yeah.
We don't always
don't
know that what we're saying is
everyone.
Right. So please, kids, be careful when you're telling your friends about that. And she said, she ended it with, keep up the good work. Love it.
Oh, thanks. Well,
fantastic reviews for this week.
Oh.
And listen, keep them coming, because now that you know that Boyd's a hater of our own podcast and doesn't think he can do it, just
yeah.
click on that reviews yeah. button and prove him wrong.
Why did I say I was a hater of that?
You've just
you talking
subtext,
about?
Boyd.
You said,
subtext.
By the way you're acting,
your body
by the
language,
head movements, everything.
Your Boydo language.
Yeah. God. Under attack as ever from all sides. Let's move on, I'm sorry, to the Durrells. One of the highlights of the forthcoming television week. This is series three of the show. Adapted, Kay.
Yes.
From the original books.
The memoirs.
The memoirs by Gerald Durrell, I do believe.
Conservationist.
Animal lover. Mm. Yeah.
Big on the animal scene.
Very big on the animal scene. And it stars Keely Hawes. It's written, it's adapted by Simon Nye, who, of Men Behaving Badly fame. And Kay, I'm going to turn to you.
Yes.
And I'm going to say to you, fill us in on where we are in the world of the Durrells.
Okay, so the whole concept of this show, it's based on Gerald Durrell's memoirs, and it's about his family moving from England to beautiful Corfu in search of a new like adventure because their father died and his mum, Louisa, is now a widower and looking for, you know, just something to take a mind off things. So they move there, and it's all about the highs and lows of their relocation. So at the end of the last series, Louisa had just split up with her love interest, Hugh. Margot, the daughter, who's my favourite character, she had just taken on she got a first boyfriend called Zoltan. Mm. Jerry was just adopting more and more animals. Larry was writing books. And Leslie was an unsung, like, he was quite an unlikely hero because he'd helped their maid, Lucrezia's daughter, have her baby in the kitchen.
Oh.
Yeah. Who would have thought it? So as we pick up now, it's a year on. Louise has given up hope of finding love. She's put it on hold to help her kids, like, be happy, and she's very hands-on mother. Mm-hmm. So Larry is smarting from the fact that his second book has flopped. He's very dramatic about this, and he's thinking of writing under a pseudonym now. Jerry's still collecting animals, standard. That's what, yeah, just what he does. And Leslie is now
collecting ladies.
He's collecting ladies. Not got one, not two, but three girlfriends. Trio. Yeah. And Margot has split up with Zoltan and is looking for purpose, so she's taken up soap sculpting.
Stephanie Seelan. I'm guessing this is a drama for you. It's got dogs.
Yeah.
It's got animals.
Yeah.
It's got cute people.
Yeah.
It's got, I mean, am I right or am I deluding myself?
Okay. Now you've told me that it's based on real life. Is it anything to do with My Family and Other Animals?
It is exactly to do with My Family
because
and Other Animals.
Because do you know what my favourite show was when I was younger? My Family and Other Animals.
This is the behind the scenes. This is how... This is the
real
doodle.
Life. Yeah. This is My Family and Other... So yeah. It's the same people.
This is like the big brother of that. That.
Okay. It's not as good.
Oh.
What?
Right. I'll tell you for what. No, listen. Listen, My Family and Other Animals is my favourite show. Yeah. No, hold on. Okay. Now, I didn't realise that it was that. Okay. But, and when there we
but
have
But you
shows,
would have put two and two together.
Well, I eventually. Did just now. When I see shows like this, I always think to myself, is this really just so the cast and crew can have a nice holiday?
Oh,
do you know, like Death in Paradise? Oh, you know, you think, you don't need to do that there. You know, it doesn't have
death
to be,
Paradise
it could just be death.
The whole premise of Death in Paradise is, as the title would suggest,
murders
in a nice tropical place.
But you're telling me that cast and crew aren't like, oh, great, we really lucked out here getting on this show.
Of course they are, but they're adapted from novels all about that place.
I'm saying
what you're saying is actors can't enjoy their jobs.
No, enjoy
Are you saying they should film Death in Paradise, whatever it's called, Murder in Paradise, Murder Successful, in Paradise? They should film it in like the East End or something.
All I'm saying is that sometimes with these shows, I just get the feeling that everyone's on a bit of a jolly.
This is a bit of a classic Stephism.
No,
this is a riddle. You've taken against this show set in Greece based on a real life family who lived in Greece, in Corfu, because they have to film it in Corfu.
No, yes. Okay, all right, I'll just give you some of my other thoughts, okay? So that was my initial first reaction, and I was like, is this anything to do...
resentful and jealous that they're in Corfu.
Bitter, some
would
say.
Of course I am. I would love this podcast to be in Corfu. That would be great.
John Dan?
I just felt like they were having a bit of a jolly up. Anyway, now I know they're not having a jolly up, and actually, you know, it's based in fact, and it is the same as My Family and Other Animals, then it's okay. It's nice. The best thing about it is all of the animals. I really like that dog, the dog that thingy trips over.
Yeah.
What is that dog's name? Because they don't reveal it.
Brian. No, I don't. I'm joking, making it up.
Let's go with Brian.
It's a really great dog.
Yeah.
He's the best thing about it. I like it. I didn't love it. I felt it was quite funny. It was very slow.
Very slow?
Oh, God, no.
I'm fair.
What? All that happens in this episode is one of them thinks he's broken his leg. Jerry gets some more animals, and then the other one decides between one of those three girlfriends.
Yeah, but that's interesting. I would say the A plot is deciding between the three girlfriends, and then his mother intervenes and she visits them all, which is funny. Mm. And then, you know, that's and then
the friend has had a baby. Yeah, can't cope with it.
So there's multiple things going on. I know what you mean.
I'm not saying it's not pleasant. It is highly pleasant. It is like the Laura Ashley of shows.
Oh, no.
Steph, you can just do
it. I think you're entirely wrong.
Everyone likes Laura Ashley.
Here's the thing.
We've ended that segment when Steph's an arsehole.
I'm not. Laura Ashley. Who doesn't like Gloria Ashley? It's just like a safe pair of curtains.
I don't
That's
like
what
Gloria
it is.
Ashley. It's fusty.
The SAA slot. Yeah. Steph's an arsehole slot. Anyway, let me say this. I think you're 100% wrong. And here's for why.
Oh.
Here's for why. The great thing about the Durrells is it's a pre-watershed, 8 p.m, ITV, mainstream, cosy, bright, sunny, family-friendly show
yeah.
That's also really good. And it's Kate's got a hand down. Let me just quickly finish my point.
Go on.
Which is that it's hardest thing to do. The hardest thing to do is to do this kind of stuff. Because anyone can do like a thriller, crime thriller, where there's murders every minute and everyone's being horrible to each other.
That's a big statement. Not
for adults. You know, this is a show that manages to be, that kids could watch it, and it manages to tell this true story, expand on these true stories of how this family came. And, you know, Gerald Dahl really did write My Family and Other Animals. Lawrence Dahl really became a legendary novelist, played, of course, by the brilliant Josh O'Connor of God's Own Country fame.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got fantastic... Keely Hawes, I mean, absolute living legend. So what I'm saying is, it's just interesting, it's in the quality and the detail and the realism and the authenticity of the whole thing. It's a wonderfully enjoyable
show. I'm still holding my hand
up.
I know what that experience was like, because I used to, when I was a little girl, I used to watch My Family and Other Animals, and I've experienced
that. I watched it as well when I was a little boy.
I'm really happy about you all watching this.
I really loved it. So I'm sure that's what you 6-year-olds are experiencing now when you watch The Durrells. But what I'm saying is, for me, as a 37-year-old woman, it's just, I liked it.
I think if you went back and watched My Family and Other Animals now, obviously it'd be dated because it was filmed, made in the 70s and 80s or whatever. Honestly, this is a much better show, and it's witty and it's clever
and it's
smart.
I'm just going to stage an intervention.
Kay has had her hand up for 5 minutes.
I just got to say this. The thing I love most about this, other than like it's a cozy Sunday night drama that is a great, great drama still. Like I love the fact that, you know, it's, considering how depressing it is outside, Beast from the East, it's actually
exactly
so nice to have some...
Thank you, they're having a jolly up in Corfu.
It's escapism, but also it's funny. It really is funny.
Yes.
So you can watch it with kids and the jokes will go over their heads, but it's actually adults will find this really funny. Like
it's really funny.
The script is really good.
It's lovely in lots of ways.
It's more than lovely. That's the point we're making.
It's not lovely. No, that's denigrating it.
I think it manages to be lovely, absolutely, but it also manages to be sharp and funny.
It makes it sound like it's
clever.
Boring.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's... Right. Okay. Listen, everyone. All right. I'm not saying this is boring.
The pointing fingers out.
I'm just saying it's just... very nice. It is a bit slow. It's lovely.
No,
it's absolutely
slow.
Perfectly
I think it's a genuinely
fine.
Funny
I think
script.
You're confusing, yeah.
It's a beautiful backdrop and the characters you
jolly
care about.
Up. Yeah.
I think you're confusing a gentle pace, shall we say. Even that, I just don't think it's slow. I think there's a lot, you know, the scenes, it breezes along. I think it's
How
breezy rather than
slow.
How many
times can you watch Keely Hawes get in that bloke's car and go to and from the town?
Well, so now she's not allowed
a
to get
a lot
car.
Of times.
That's what I mean. It's a lot of times.
No, I can think of nothing better to do than to watch Keely Hawes getting in and out of a car with
I loved it.
Dude.
And I thought all the young characters are so brilliantly played as well.
Yeah, everyone's great in it.
Yeah. Even the supporting character, Lucrezia, the maid.
Totally.
Do you know what? Why don't you two just go off and get married, okay? Because you agree on everything.
Do you know what? We
in
will.
In Corfu.
And we'll go live in Corfu.
Yeah.
And we'll
fine.
Get so many dogs.
I'm not saying I didn't like it. I'm just saying it wasn't, like, a must-see for me.
Right, I'm drawing this to a close.
I'm sure Kay agrees with me. I think it's one of the best. In terms of... I'm not going to repeat myself, but in terms of this genre of TV drama, this is the best
What else
one.
Is in the genre?
You know, I guess call the Midwife a bit pre-watershed family.
A huge
friendly.
Fan of Call
I mean,
Midwife,
I love
as you know.
CWM as well. CTM even. Mm. Call Why Midlife.
I actually look forward to this coming back. So I was really pleased when it came
back
in the schedule.
Same.
Well, I'm pleased for you.
Do you want a bonus name drop?
Bing, bing.
When I interviewed
Josh. No, hold on. Whoa.
Just one bong.
Whoa. I went bing and it should have been bong.
Bong. One bong though.
Bong.
When I interviewed Josh O'Connor for God's Own Country, we asked him about it, and he said what a joy it is to make this show.
Do you know
not
why?
Just to be in Corfu.
He's got
no,
permatan.
Don't say it.
He's like, of course it's a joy. Oh, what's not a joy? No. Oh, it's really painful to go to Corfu and make this show where
that
it's
is
really
the word
sunny and lovely.
That is the word I'd use to describe it. It's joyful.
It's a joy.
Anyway, I'm going at 4.5 stars.
Same. 4.5.
I'm going to give it 3.5, which is only a half star. I mean, I'm just saying lots of people will like it.
The new series of the Durrells. Everyone, ITV next Sunday, the 18th of March, 8 p.m. And I'm sure, Steph, you'd much rather watch a bunch of dudes and some dudettes rescuing people or trying to find ISIS people in the Middle East and being all actiony like they are in SEAL Team, which is kind of texting your name now. What is it, Kay? Steph Kay.
Whoa.
What is it, Steph?
SEAL Team. Okay. SEAL Team is about, as the title suggests, a group of SEAL... What are they called?
Sea lions.
No. That would be incredible. What are they? What is the full Navy. Name? Of Navy like SEALs, that's it. US Navy SEALs. Okay, so it starts with a bit of a flashback, okay? How are we saying his name? Wow.
Angel. Just call him Angel.
Angel from Buffy the Vampire Slayer is now a Navy SEAL and a mission.
And Bones. He was in Bones for about 10 years.
He was in Bones, wasn't he? Yeah. But we'll stick to Buffy.
Okay.
A mission goes a bit wrong. So it kind of sets up how everyone's going to be in this whole thing, because a mission goes wrong and somebody gets killed. Flash forward. David has not taken this well. Okay, so his best friend died. He's his son, the son of the man who died, is his godson now. And he's split up with his wife, David has. It's all caused a lot of trouble.
And he's forced to go to counselling because they kind of imply that he might have been responsible for his friend's death.
I think it's harsh, but yeah, it's true. Okay, so they're going to go out on a new mission. Okay, there's some young upstart that's joined the Navy SEALs whose father is a bit of a controversial figure. And go on.
I was going to say his name. Clay, played by Max Thiriol.
Yeah.
Thiriol.
Kind of cutesy.
His father basically published a book about his time in the Navy SEALs, and people were not happy about that. Okay, so they're going on this mission to catch an ISIS. Is it an ISIS guy?
I think it is an
terrorist.
ISIS guy.
They're going to catch a terrorist. They're going to catch a terrorist. Working with the CIA, and it's all the first episode is all about that particular mission and what happened in this mission.
And now, the lady in charge of the CIA, let me just interrupt.
Mad Men Woman.
Mad Men's Jessica Paré.
Canadian's
Jessica Paré.
Yeah.
Is it Paré? She's got an accent on the E, so it must be Paré.
But most importantly, forget about her. Oh. She was in Mad Men, she was great. But most importantly, one of the members of the SEAL team is a dog. And the greatest part of this whole episode is this dog has been trained, okay, to sit down when there is a threat, okay? The greatest bit is this dog gets lowered down into the compound to find the ISIS person down a rope and then basically saves the day, really.
Steph has slipped into self-parody.
No! It's come on, that scene is fantastic.
So you prefer...
Great dog action.
You're telling me, for the one dog-related incident in SEAL Team...
That dog's
in it a lot.
You prefer
that over the multiple cute animals in Bloody the Durrells?
Just saying, this dog has commitment to acting. This dog has like got... This dog's got a lot of screen time, okay? And it's doing a lot of good work.
I'm not even going to get into it about the chickens and the Durrells and stuff
their
like that.
The chickens are fine. Birds. I liked all of the animals in the Durrells. I'm just saying, this is like the Brad Pitt of the animal world of acting, is what I'm saying.
This dog in Navy's SEAL team. We should say, this is a big acquisition for Sky. They're going to show on Thursday nights at 9 o'clock. This has been one of the biggest hits, apparently, of the new season. So it started last autumn in America on CBS. And CBS is like the most mainstream TV channel in America. And this is a huge hit for them. It's all kind of, you know, it is like all these people kind of fighting terrorists, basically. Americans, heroic Americans fighting terrorists. And within that, though, my question is this to you both. Is there any room for... It sounds quite basic when you put it like that, doesn't it?
It is basic.
But is there any room for, like, wit or...
The dog.
Yeah. Witty thing.
I didn't find this particularly funny.
No, it's
I'm not saying... it's a question, but, I mean, they're trying... There's banter between them, isn't there? Like, David Boreanaz's character.
Angel.
His whole career from Angel through to Bones is based on... His main skill, I think, as an actor, is banter. He's a banter king. So... You know, he likes a little quip. Banter, exactly. And I think he seems to be bringing that again to this role in this show. And I quite liked him in it. I thought he was okay. And I quite liked his scenes with Jessica Paré. I thought they bounced off each other quite well. I didn't think it was terrible, is what I'm saying about the show, which
I
did
not
really
enjoyed this
intend
show.
To enjoy. Good.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really liked the show. I thought it was really good. It's highly watchable. I think he's absolutely brilliant in this. I didn't like him in Bones. I thought he was a bit annoying.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I liked him in Bones. I only watched like 3 seasons, gave up.
Okay. There you go. Probably. No staying power. No, he's really good. This feels like a perfect role for him at this stage. Because he's a little bit embittered, isn't he? Is that the right word?
Yeah, because he's best mate's dog.
Yeah.
You would be.
I mean, I would be. If anything happened to my K, I'd be in bits.
Especially on a mission to go and grab some ISIS.
Unless the dog was involved in this, you'd be
happy. No, but like, seriously, that dog is really good at it.
You have mentioned it. Okay. K, apart from the dog,
did
you think?
Well, initially I was like, oh, you know, because there's a bit of cheesy music, a bit of cheesy dialogue, and I was like, oh, I'm not sure if this is for me. But, and this is a bit of a spoiler, but compared to the next programme we're going to review, I enjoyed this, and I thought actually it's very watchable. I want to see what happens next. And it was, yeah, there's no subtlety with it, but
it feels quite authentic to me. I kind of believed the general.
Yeah.
I kind of think, you know, if they're a bunch of Navy SEALs, this is probably
how
they behave. It's got the, you know, it's got that thing with it when they're doing the actual mission, you see it in night vision and all that. Yeah. So it gives you that feeling of authenticity, doesn't it?
And you couldn't predict what was going to happen as you might.
No, yeah, there's quite a good, yeah, there's quite a good little twist at the end.
It's very watchable.
I would just say, I did enjoy it as it went on. I don't think I'm going to give much of my time to watch the next 21 episodes.
Whoa, 21 episodes a season?
Yeah, yeah.
That's silly.
Yeah. Well, that's American style for you. That's network TV.
That's silly. Oh, no. Nice.
That's network TV for you. I'm going to give it 3 out of 5.
I'm giving it 3.2.
3.5.
SEAL Team. Named after Stephanie Sealand. Starts.
The first episode is called Tip of the Spear, which is very rude.
Steady. It starts next Thursday on the Sky One and the Now TV, of course, at 9 o'clock. Finally. In an Unmissables first, we're reviewing a show on the Universal Channel.
Well done, Universal. Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, it starts next Monday, the 19th of March, on that Universal Channel at 9 o'clock. And it stars at the aforementioned Christopher Noth.
Christopher Noth.
Sure,
tell your friends.
Noth. No, I'm joking.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. He of Sex and the City, Law and Order. The very first iteration of the hugely successful
Lot of Police.
He was also an FBI guy in the thing about catching the Unabomber, which is on Netflix. Yes.
Unabomber,
I think
what it's called,
on Netflix, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's done a lot of law enforcement in his career, in his dramatic career, and he did that whole Sex and the City thing, but we can draw a veil over that. Oh, come on.
Why are you veil drawing?
He's Mr. Big. Why would you draw a veil?
Oh, I just got annoyed by Sex and City in the end.
Why?
It was just deeply irritating.
What, the films or the
Everything.
Series?
You and Kim Cattrall both.
Yeah, exactly. Me and Kim are on the same page. anyway, it's this. He is at the head of a special unit of the FBI, which he's convened to find missing persons. It's largely inspired by the fact there are loads of kids going missing in this day and age. In fact, there's a title card comes up at the end of the first episode. I think it's like 75. Has Kate got it?
75 people go missing in the US every hour.
People.
How about that?
Children.
Every hour, people. And so this dude, Chris Noth, plays Frank Nova. He runs this thing. And the opening opens with this scene, a flashback scene, to this poor girl who's been abducted by this dude and his wife. And she's been there. You know, for how long?
I don't think we should call him
time.
Dude. Dude makes him sound like he's a cool guy.
No. Well, he's a male.
Scumbag.
A species. He's a scumbag. All right, he's a scumbag. Nasty
bastard.
In comes Chris Noth's Frank Novak to rescue said girl. Mm. Flash forward, 10 years later, wherever it is, she's now a grown woman running a kind of yogic martial arts
she's
group
running like
thing.
Yeah,
it's one of those,
what
is it, like jiu-jitsu, taekwondo-y.
Yeah, like a mixed martial
one of
arts
thing.
Living with a funny guy. And
he's not literally funny, though, is he?
He's quite funny. He's supposed to be funny. He's like the funny one.
Okay.
A little bit, yeah, comic relief. And this other dude comes in, fights her, or like, she's trained people at karate and stuff, and he gives her a karate fight. He turns out to be another FBI agent with Chris Noth. They want her to join their team because she's got all the experience of having been kidnapped and abducted and having lived through that. And so they get her in the team, and from then they go on and they solve abductions together.
Can we just say that the guy who fights her is called John Bishop?
He is called John Bishop.
Oh, he's not the John Bishop, though.
No.
No.
He is.
As per my advice, he's retired from serious acting.
Yeah, it's not the John Bishop star of that thing that we reviewed on ITV that you didn't like him because you don't like him doing acting.
I like him in life. I do not like him.
This is former Army Intelligence Officer Johnny Bishop, played by Danny Pino, who I also interviewed as 3 times this week, as I did the woman Levin Rambin, who plays Kit Kick Lanigan.
That's just.
Oh, that was annoying.
She's called Kick, and she does literally kick when she does the karate. Levin
Say
Rambin.
What you see.
And therein start the problems with this
Yeah,
show.
Well, it's also one more thing before you get your teeth into it, because clearly you're both, I can see how this is going already. The series is based on a novel by Chelsea Kane, brilliantly named, called One Kick. There you go. Mm. Okay. Let it go.
Release
let
the
it
hound.
Flow
okay.
out. What do you make of this show?
This is terrible. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, right. My first point is, does anybody watch Without a Trace? The absolutely brilliant Without a Trace. Do you watch that?
I don't. I'm aware of its work.
Okay. Without a Trace is an American show about people that go missing. Okay.
Wait, documentary or drama?
No, drama. Okay. About people that go missing. And it is ruddy, bloody brilliant. Okay.
What channel's that on?
Oh, It's always on Channel 4.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it even might sometimes be on... It's like one of those shows that is always, always on. But it's really...
Like
it's
Google
like
Box.
Law and Order. And also what I was going to say is Law and Order as well. A lot of the times those people go missing. However, but Without a Trace is literally another way of saying gone, okay? And this show is so much better than this Gone. It is contrived. It is schmaltzy. I don't... The whole premise of somebody, just because they were abducted, being the perfect person to go and solve abductions is just ludicrous. That is so stupid. Just because I like cheese sandwiches doesn't mean that I know how to make cheese. That is so idiotic.
But she does find the secret compartment in the house where the woman, the girl's being kept.
Oh, the whole thing is...
Because she knows. She can intuit. She can intuit that there's a secret place in the house because she knows what it's all about.
It's
Kay...
Stilted, hammy. I mean, like, there's a scene at the opening.
Don't call me Stilton Hammy.
Stilton for Steph. Oh. It's just so it's bad. Awful. Like, there's a scene at the beginning where Chris Noth.
Whoa.
walks in, and the girl who has been kidnapped is there. Now, bearing in mind, she's running around. Like, she's when he first walks in, she runs down to the basement. She does some stuff. So she's very active. She's not injured anyway. And at the end of that scene, he, in his FBI jacket, walks out carrying her for absolutely no reason.
Into the sunlight.
Yeah. I mean, that would give you a clue how absolutely cheesy this is. No, I just feel like it's got no depth to it. Everything is served up on a platter. You don't have to... there's no intrigue.
On a cheese platter.
It's rubbish.
It's a cheese board. It's really bad. Although, the thing that I did find interesting is that they operated the whole thing from inside a plane, and that was very well equipped.
You know,
I
mean, the well-lit, very bright white plane. It's like being the inside like an iPad or iPod.
It is. It's like being the inside of the iPad.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But that was the only interesting thing. If that's the only interesting thing about it.
Oh, there's nothing original about this.
No, okay. It's difficult for me because obviously I've spent much of this week with these people.
You're Chris Noth's best friend.
They're all very... very likeable. They get on really well, properly. Like, they bounce off each other.
We're not
saying
they're not nice people in real life. And they've just done something very bad here.
let me just say, things I liked about it. Right, there are a few things I liked about it.
I dare you to get beyond five fingers.
Are they influenced by how much you like these people?
Maybe.
Okay.
Try to be impartial.
I could try and be impartial, but there are things I liked about it. I liked how the mother, so the girl who's been kidnapped, Kick's mum is a character, and she is like this completely ridiculous thing who's making money out of her daughter's kidnapping, has written books about it, and she goes on TV and talks about it, and she told me in the interviews I did with her that there's a whole culture out there of relatives of people who've gone missing, of like doing media work and, you know, going on all of these TV shows in America. And I thought that was interesting. That it touches on the media, the saturation of the media of these people's real life tragic stories.
But Boyd, Kelly Rutherford, as is the woman's
name. From Gossip
Girl. Right. She is an incredibly controversial figure to pick for this role. Did you not think? Because you know all of her domestic issues with her children. I thought it was very strange to pick her for this role.
Yeah, well, you know, let's not get into that. But
no, but I'm just saying, it seemed strange to me for her to be in this role.
But she's great in the role, though. She's absolutely like the embodiment of that type of person. You know, that's what she comes across as to me. This kind of, you know, very slick, kind of ruthless individual who's making money out of her daughter's kidnapping experience. It's an interesting element. I wasn't expecting that element. Come on, you must admit, were either of you expecting, once you got into the premise of it, the first 15, 20 minutes, then for the mother to arrive as this quite...
I thought she was incredibly one-dimensional.
I don't think it's as big a plot point as you're suggesting.
No, I don't either.
Well, she's in it. I mean, she's
in it. Yeah, she's in it.
She
stands
being
outside
it.
And then she basically says...
She's an aside to this.
I will read out a statement from the family at 0600.
On the cheese board, she would be a bit Baby Belle. She isn't big in this.
Another thing I liked about it, I also like the fact that Kick, she is...
Stop calling her Kick, it's so irritating.
It's her name. It's not
Kit
only...
Kit Lanigan.
She's been through this excruciating trauma, but she's kind of come out of it the other side. She's created a whole life for herself, but she's still... So they touch upon the trauma. She's still getting over that, obviously. That's still affecting her in her life. But she still manages to be funny, charming, you know, and powerful, and do her karate.
Boyd.
And then she joins the team. I think she's a good
Boyd,
character,
I'm
going
to have
saying.
To stop you there. What? She is not funny or charming.
I think she's both funny and
charming. No, she is completely forgettable as a character.
The way she deals with John Bishop.
I found that so irritating.
He's so obviously meant to be the character you fancy.
I know.
And there's, like,
I just found
sexual
it
tension
so contrived. She isn't, I'm sorry, she is not good enough to hold that lead character role.
I agree with Steph.
Wow.
She isn't.
We've got to be honest, though.
I'm not asking you to be honest.
So you probably might feel a little compromised, but we don't feel so.
We're not compromised, Boyd. You've been Boyd.
We're
Boyd,
authentic to the very
you've been
end.
Compromised. Here is your notification.
Yeah.
You've been
like
compromised.
Putin taken out of that double agent.
Yeah. Just watch what you drink.
Don't drink
anymore.
I don't feel that compromised. It also gets better as it goes on as well.
How many have you watched?
3.
I don't know if that's enough to tell.
Okay. That's gone. Universal Channel next Monday, the 19th of March at 9 p.m.
Don't worry about it, guys. You're not missing anything.
Oh, we haven't given it a star rating.
2.
I'm going at 1¾. I'm introducing a new...
Well, no. John Dan's shaking his head.
He didn't even write that down. He's like,
right. No. Even half is controversial. Let's just stick to half.
Whole numbers.
Multiples of half.
You can go for 0.
Don't egg her on.
Why can't I have 1.75?
Because it's not right.
It's complicated. Come on.
Okay, 1.5.
Okay.
You're not allowed halves.
No. Just 1 or 2. Come on, one or two.
We've always done halves.
Just round numbers.
Oh my God, we've given halves for the last 48 weeks.
The Durrells 4.5.
Yeah.
All right, I forgot about that.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, I may have forgotten entirely about you talking about...
No, that is unforgivable, boy. Don't try and backtrack at that.
But you've forgotten that we do halves, which we've been doing for 47 weeks. That is gone, as I said, yes. Finally, it is that time where I bang the mic.
It's question time.
I do believe this week's question effectively was suggested by one of our very dear devoted listeners to whom
original.
We are devoted.
This is our original pog.
Super pog.
And what's his name?
Torres.
Thank you. Torres suggested, he asked us, talking about the BBC 4 Saturday night shows. We reviewed one last week, Below the Surface, which is still ongoing, okay, on Saturday nights of BBC 4. So he was wondering what our favourite shows you have to read, as you call them, are. Subtitles,
what
everyone else calls
them. What
has
happened in that? Has he turned out to be a wrong'un?
Don't tell me, because I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, we can't spoil it now.
Okay, no one knows. All right.
People might have watched it.
Calm down.
Okay. Chill out.
All right.
Chillax.
Stand down.
Torres suggested we I think he said like top 10, did he, or top, I don't know. I'm suggesting, what is our top 3 shows you have to read of all time, okay?
In at number 1, or should I go backwards? No, I'm going to go backwards, more dramatic. In at number 3 is I Know Who You Are. Yes, that is my Spanish drama. And I'm choosing this because there are not a lot of Spanish foreign dramas on that I've seen. And so I enjoyed it on that basis because I like to practice my Spanish and it was very good. And that was one about the lawyer who was accused of
running
over his niece. Okay, I hate you both. Right, in at number 2, The Tunnel. Oh, how we enjoyed that, both Steph and I. Absolutely adored it with Stephen Delaney.
Wait, a few bits of it.
You have to read.
They speak French.
No.
She speaks French.
That's the English, that's the UK remake of the original Scandinavian show.
I understand that, Boyd, but do you have to read? Is there anything that has subtitles in that? Is there?
Well, there's some.
Do they speak French?
Subtitles in Star Wars, but it's not a foreign language film, is it?
Does she speak French?
Depends on
was Star Wars based on a foreign drama? Like an English version of a foreign drama?
Was Star Wars based on a foreign drama?
If you want to disappoint Torres with this answer,
he understands. He understands my love for The Tunnel. He'll get it. Carl and Elise, fantastic combo. And finally, in at number 1, the top spot, Borgen. Danish political drama. Birgitta, such a great, fantastic character, and also introduced me to Palu. I'm calling him Asbeck. I don't know how you say his name. You know the guy from you like in Game of Thrones? He plays Casper Yule. And in Game of Thrones, he plays Euron, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He was in Borgen. I thought it was fantastic.
Can one of mine be in a film?
I mean, if you want to disappoint Torres, because I don't think that he meant films.
No, because
I think he meant TV shows. You know he meant
okay,
that.
Okay, well, one of mine is Modus, which I love.
Oh, that's good. That's right. Yeah, that's okay. Allowed. What that's answering that the question.
Is it on BBC 4?
Yeah, BBC,
yeah,
4,
BBC
yeah.
4. That's really good. It's on the second. The second series is just finished now. That's very good. I would say The Tunnel as well, because I am with my friend Kate, and I do think there are bits of that that are subtitled. But my top thing that I've had to read ever is Oscar-winning film The Lives of Others.
Okay.
What? No. You do have to read it.
Yeah.
Steph,
fine.
Don't listen to him.
No. Yeah, you.
If you had to read it, you can say it.
It's a great film.
It is a great film.
Yeah.
No, what are yours?
I'll tell you.
Oh, he's going to stay really within the parameters of this.
Well, apologies for answering the question. That Torres set, yes, but I am going to answer the question properly with my top three subtitled dramas you have to read on television.
Please don't call them
time.
Subtitled. Call them their official
shows
name.
You have to read of all time. Number 3, mm-hmm. The Bridge. the original, which is fully subtitled, with Saga Noran, the original character, on which the Sky Atlantic UK remake was based.
Yawnorama.
Including French dialogue, which needed subtitles.
Some French dialogue
needed
subtitles.
Elise spoke French. Yeah.
Number two, The Killing. The original series of The Killing, which started it all. This is the show that changed the world.
Mm.
Incredible. I think it was 20 parts, in depth. It really was a groundbreaking look at one murder case with all its tentacles that spread out. It was on this, it created the Saturday Night BBC 4 slot effectively.
Mm.
Still a brilliant show.
What's
great
the
jumper.
The main character?
Sarah Lunt.
Yeah, that's it.
Still, you know, indelible.
Okay. Ooh.
I'm using that word.
Wow. Big word.
But I'm going to give you a number one.
Ooh.
Heimat.
What?
Yes.
Don't Heimat be rude.
Is a German. Heimat. Heimat, Homeland, is a German epic, long-running television series about German history, 20th century German history, taking in the war, the both World Wars, taking in, it's based in this small town, how they kind of, all the characters coped with all the events that have happened in German history. They've been like, I think, three or four series of it. It's an epic, huge achievement. One of the greatest TV series of all time. And I remember watching the original, which just kind of focuses a lot on the war and the effect it had. And it's an incredible piece of work. It filmed largely in black and white. Look, I think it's coming out on DVD box set like this month or later this month. It is an extraordinary achievement. I've gone full on wanky.
Have you spoken about this before?
Homeland. Heimat.
So it's called Homeland, but it's nothing to do with
It's called Heimat, which I think is kind of German for Homeland.
We've got any German listeners, get in touch. Let us know.
Yeah, but check it. It's brilliant.
Check it.
Yeah.
Check it.
Check it. You've gone all street.
We've reached the end of the line. Next week, we'll be back for our 50th.
50 years old.
So until then.
Hold on a minute.
What?
We
what
like
are we doing
to
now?
Do, we like
I
to
think we just need to give a little reminder again, boys.
Yeah.
Of what? Oh, okay.
Time's running out, Boyd.
Yeah, if you want to get in touch with us. I mean, I don't know if you want to get in touch with Boyd, but he's at Boyd Hilson or at Steph Seelan or at Kay Ribeiro. And
or
remember,
if like some people out there, you just listen to the podcast because you love me and Kay, please do get in touch and leave a review.
Yeah, most importantly, leave a review.
Crofts fans particularly do leave a review. Yeah. Thanks very much. We'll be back next week. It's a goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from me.
Us together.
Aww. Okay, bye.